My name is Owen Flynn and welcome to episode 118 of the Trail Running Ireland podcast, sponsored by EcoTrail Wicklow 2025. In this week's show, we have a super training topic with René Bourque from Running Coach Ireland to chat through. Low torque, high torque, and torque here refers to the muscular force per stride as we move through the trails. It's a very interesting lens to better understand what's really happening in our bodies during different types of training. Let's discuss. Everyone, get your running gear on. Let's go. Hey guys, hope August is going well, that you're training well and you're racing well. And a big shout out to our sponsor for this episode, EcoTrail Wicklow, who for the 6th year now, since that first edition back in 2019, will be organising another superb day of trail running on Saturday, September 27th, with the start and finish line and Race HQ with DJ and with the team from Wicklow Wolf and lots of fun on the wonderful and historic Bray Promenade. There are 5 races again this year with a distance for everybody, 10k, 19k, 30k, 46k and the big one, the 80k with stunning routes that go through Brayhead, Little and Great Sugarloaf, Kilruddery Gardens, Powerscourt Waterfall, Loch Tay, Varty Reservoir and of course the Wicklow Way. There's lots of ancillary events around race weekend and in the build-up, and the race works with some excellent local partners such as Dynafit, Wicklow Wolf, Nobo and Inner Fight, who are actually organising recce runs out on the course on August 30th and September 13th. So do make sure to check out the Eco Trail Wicklow socials for everything that's happening and to get that race entry in. Before we call in René from Running Coach Ireland, I say it guys in every episode and I'll say it again, a sincere thank you to all of our group of patrons who support the show each month with the price of a gel per month. Really appreciate it guys, thank you. And if you would like to help out the podcast, if you are a listener, do please pop over to Patreon Trail Running Ireland when you have a moment, and even a small donation for a month or two will help keep the show going all year round. Okay, let's call in René to chat about torque and how to implement it successfully into our training week. René Bourque from Running Coach Ireland. René, great to have you back. We hope the summer has been going well for you. And as always, René, you've come up with another interesting topic. Fair play to you after 117 episodes. You're still coming up with great coaching topics for us. And this one today is about torque, which has been making waves in coaching circles over the last while. It's not the torque that we talk about that might be underneath your car bonnet, but the kind that your legs generate with every stride, especially going uphill, a very, very important area for mountain and trail runners, René. So very, very welcome to the show, René, and looking forward to hearing all about your thoughts on low torque and high torque training.
Yeah, well, thanks for that. Welcome, Owen. And we're going through a good patch, I think, on the podcast, because we have, I think, 3 or 4 little topics already in our pocket. And we don't always play them out the moment we have them, because we want it to fit with the time of the season. But I thought this one is definitely a good one in the middle of the hill running season. And it's one as well that for, you know, just before we went on air here, we were watching the cycling, Owen, in the background. And this topic of high versus low torque training, that language came out of the cycling community originally, not because torque is only for vehicles. You know, obviously torque is something people might have heard about in their car. You know, if you have a Jeep, it has very high torque, you know, it can pull really well compared to a sports car, who is more about, you know, the quick revolutions and things like that. But it's actually, so it's no surprise that with the car language and the cycling language, this is something that we think about at this time of year. But it's something that is also relevant to runners and to other athletes who don't use vehicles, like swimmers and skiers, etc. And it's really all about what's happening in your body when you're doing different types of training. And it's about how much muscular force you are exerting per stride. So low torque means that you have a very kind of high cadence, low force per stride. So it's kind of flowing, it's efficient, versus high torque, which is a low cadence and a high force. So grinding, muscularly demanding. And for those who hear that and they're like, oh, I'm still not quite sure I get the distinction. If you think of it on the bike, so that's when you put your bike in a really high gear where you can't keep the revolutions very high. I think most of us have probably cycled at least once and we felt that difference. So that would be high torque, basically. High gears, low revolutions. Same if you've ever swam and you got tired in the water, you probably noticed that suddenly you get too tired to actually, get really pull strong through all the resistance. So you often start kind of panicking by speeding up your stroke rate. And this is a very typical thing that happens in all sports, is that if you get really fatigued and you just can't exert a lot of force, per pedaling, per stride in running, per stroke in swimming, or whatever it is, sometimes we try and compensate by increasing our cadence, for instance. So I hope kind of after that little intro that people know what we are talking about.
Yeah, so one I think is about smooth efficiency. The other is about muscular power. And you mentioned a couple of other sports there already that we're familiar maybe with this terminology in, like cycling, for example. But why does this matter for trail runners?
So basically, it's not that if we talk about low torque and high torque training, we're going to give you examples of what that is. And when you hear the examples, most people will be like, oh, but I know what those training methods are. So it's not entirely new, but it's a different way of looking at what do these training types do to you, both positive and negative, and how should you balance them out. So if we look at low torque work, so that means so high cadence, low resistance. That's like your zone one and two aerobic runs, especially when they are on flat or rolling terrain only. If you hike uphill with, let's say, your running poles, and it's very steady and rhythmic, so quick cadence, one, two, one, two. If you are out on your, because we know a lot of trail runners, obviously bikes, if you spin your bike through at 90 to 100 meter reps per minute, easy, where you're kind of flushing out the legs, as well as any high cadence trail running where your turnover feels very light, like you don't feel a lot of resistance. That could be running downhill, for instance. They would be examples of low torque exercise that you do. What they do is they are the exercises where you develop your metabolic efficiency and that delay fatigue. So that's kind of really what you want as the end product for all of your races.
And then high torque, Rennie, why is that important? We've mentioned low torque, zone one, zone two runs, the uphill hiking with poles, high cadence with light turnover. What about the high torque? When does that come into our training, and what does that look like in our training?
So that would be, for instance, your hill sprints, 8 kind of 15 seconds, especially on steeper slopes. Power hiking, where you really load up. Some people will remember we've talked about, for instance, the muscular endurance work that was created by guys like the lads over at Uphill Athletes, which was based really on training methods that came from the climbing and the rocking community. Where basically you go on really steep slopes, and if you're very strong in your legs, which some of these people are, you have very heavy backpacks because you're trying to make sure that you create, you can't actually move your feet very quickly, and there's a lot of tension on every single step. In the cycling community, this is people like Carmichael Systems. They call it muscle tension intervals. Okay, we'll come back to that in a little minute. So long climbs at a low cadence as well would be another example. So that means actually every time you do, like, say, a big hairy Irish Championship, Leinster Championship race, a lot of the long climbs on the continent where you reach a point where you simply cannot keep your high cadence anymore, you go into that kind of grinding motion. So that's that. Bounding drills is another, or if you have strides with resistance, like if you were a sprinter, and you wore a parachute or something like that, that would be an example. And we know from the bikes, okay, big gear climbs, etc., with thresholds. So when you do those sessions, whenever you do that, you isolate your type, what's called 2A fibers. Okay, so they are the fast twitch fibers that can actually be trained for endurance. You also really strengthen the structural integrity of your body, and you very specifically make yourself better at tolerating your fatigue resistance on steep gradients. But that sort of training comes with a few different costs that we want to point out, so you don't kind of rush out and just say, oh, I'm not doing enough of this, let me do loads of this because I'm not good on steep climbs. Because it adds a lot of mechanical stress on the body that often is a little bit hidden from the usual recovery metrics and so on.
It reminds me maybe of some of the conversations, Rennie, we've had over the years about too much interval work, too much speed work on the track, for example, can easily eat into that aerobic base and do infrastructural damage to the body that can lead to injuries if not spaced enough apart, if not done right, if done without the proper foundation. What you're talking about there, Rennie, I think elites around the world do have this focus on their high torque, on their low torque. And I think you have some examples of real life examples of some of the best trail athletes in the world who are very much aware of the importance of high torque, and they're doing specific work with it over the course of the season, getting ready for wins in some of the biggest trail races around the world.
Yeah, we have some different examples that shows different ways you can implement it. Like, so Kilian Jornet, obviously, we always use him as an example because everybody knows him. But the ski mountaineering that he and a lot of others do is high torque training as a winter base, basically, for his strength endurance, because the climbs are long, the cadence is low. The plus side of ski mountaineering is there's not a lot of joint stress, at least not in the way we usually see it in running. So it's quite an interesting exercise that way, but not very available, right, to most people. We had people like Jim Walmsley who put it much later in his training because he moved to France, to prepare for the UTMB. So he was missing that. So instead of doing it in the winter, he did these very long, we call grind style climbs, like, super big hills, in the later period of his training. But he made sure there was enough low torque around those climbs, to keep the balance. We have people like Francis de Heine, with backpack hiking. Which again is very specific for that, and Peter Engdahl, who uses bounding and steep hill intervals, which is very common strategy when people don't have regular access to things like massive hills or things like ski mountaineering. Then often you need to find a different way, and there is quite a lot of different ways because it's anything where you can create a lot of tension at a fairly kind of slow rhythm onto the legs. The difference to strength training, which is probably a good time to bring that up, is strength training is less specific than high torque training, right? So they're actually quite similar, but high torque training is a little bit, that's taking that strength and that resistance and putting it in a more sports specific movement pattern.
You mentioned cycling earlier, Rennie, as well, that we can actually take a lot sometimes from the cycling world, especially from an endurance point of view. And Jonas Vingegaard, who we all watched in this year's Tour de France, a brilliant tour as always. How does torque play into a cyclist's preparation? And maybe we can take something from the cycling world and torque into our own trail running.
Yeah, so the kind of the type of riders that he is, what they call GC, general classification riders, they are more they're obviously focused on endurance, and that means they do want to work on their strength and their power, but they're always very careful how much they do, because if you do too much of it, you actually erode a lot of your endurance, your fat max, your efficiency over distance. So it's something where when you are trying to do it, you have to be very careful. And it's usually good to look at people like, Pogacar and Vingegaard, because we know that these people are paying a lot of attention to detail because the stakes for them are so high. So if we look at their training, we can usually see that they are being really, really careful in avoiding, making themselves worse. And that's the first thing we need to think as long distance trail runners as well, is I want to bring this in. But if you are a very endurant type already, you need to bring it in controlled. So one way he does that is when he does his low cadence, high torque intervals on hills on the bike, he stays below his lactate threshold. Okay, and that's actually similar to those muscular endurance workouts we've discussed probably over a year and a half now, I'd say, where you try to do them on a steep hill with your, let's say, extra pack and your poles, but you actually do try and stay in zone three. And then another thing he would do, and I'd say anyone else at his level, you know, is they go and spin the legs out at high cadence, you know, so that they can flush out the legs and restore their more restful neuromuscular balance that they have. So steep hills, loaded hikes, definitely, but the primary thing is still, you know, what we've discussed before with 80-20 as well, is the easy aerobic running, you know, which is our equivalent of spinning the legs through. You know, that still has to be predominant. So in a sense, you could nearly say, if you use the 80-20 principles, it's still 80% at least low torque work. Oh, sorry, yeah, low torque work versus the high torque, which is the high resistance work. That's in that 20.
It sounds like it's so important to torque, but it is like a spice, Rennie. It's powerful, but you can easily overdo it. And maybe you could bring us through what might be a torque balanced week of training. What would that actually look like for the mountain, for the trail runner?
Yeah, so a good example. We're taking one here with 10 hours, just because nice round figure. So I know people. A lot of people train less than that. But if you said, look, there's going to be four workouts out of my week here, and we assume if someone is training 10 hours, they're probably actually running 6 or 7 days a week. There will be four runs where they pay special attention to what they're doing, but everything else apart from the four now is basically low torque work, easy runs, strides, mobility. Okay. But the four key sessions could be like a Tuesday with 3x8 uphill at a low cadence, but you stay in zone three. That'd be high torque, but using hill reps on a steep hill, maybe a bit like what I just explained. Thursday could be, let's say, a 90-minute loaded backpack hike. Okay, that'd be a second high torque session in the week. A Saturday could be a long mountain run where you have a mix of running and hiking climb. That would be mixed. Okay, so you'd have a little bit of everything. That session wouldn't be too far in either direction. And then Sunday could be some kind of, you know, 60-minute, very, very easy run of, as I say, a lot of the trail runners, they mix up the biking. A lot of my clients do as well, because a lot of them are multi-sport athletes as well. So if you wanted to flush out all that high torque work and you go on the bike, don't go up riding up and down Shea Elliott here in Wicklow, you know, endlessly. Go out a nice flatter ride where you can really spin the legs out. You know, so the easy runs and the whatever cross activity you choose, you know, make sure that's low torque as well, so that not everything, so you don't have four or five basically workouts a week where you have all that tension on the legs.
Yeah, and that is so important, Rennie, as well, isn't it? It's getting the balance right and not having four or five hard sessions a week. And you do have to be true to yourself about what a hard session is. And you have to learn how to judge what a hard session is. And if you're doing a hard session, the next day should probably be easy. So something that we have to be very aware of as an athlete, as a coach, in terms of judging those hard sessions and implementing the correct recovery as well.
Yeah, because we rely on pace, heart rate, average power, whatever is the main metric there to estimate training stress, right? And that's how we calculate all these metrics that people may or may not be familiar with, you know, like TSS, training stress. But it's really a reflection of primarily metabolic load. Okay, and we all get that. We do an interval session. Wow, there's a big stress inside, you know, and you might feel a bit flattened for 48 hours after. But there's a neuromuscular and a biomechanical load as well that sometimes these metrics miss. Now, so if you go and do 10 by 400 on the track really fast, the metric that measures stress tends to be reliable, right? So if it's showing a high value, that's both a high biomechanical load and a high metabolic load. We all kind of understand that. Interval session on the track, it's hard on the legs. It's hard on the body, and it'd probably be the same if you went and did, let's say, zone four or five intervals on the hill. We know that it's hard both on legs and heart and lungs and all the rest. But there are sometimes sessions, especially hill sessions, where you might actually go out quite easy in terms of your heart rate or your power or whatnot, and the stress score that your watch or your software calculates looks quite low. But there are certain metrics that have become more and more popular that actually show that this is not always the case. So an example of that is what's called the impact loading metric from the Stride footpod. But that shows basically the real strain on muscles and joints. So that means just because your heart rate is low doesn't always mean the stress is low. So Steve Paladino is one guy who has done a lot of work on this for Stride. And he actually showed some examples that I was looking at online where people were doing easy hill runs, but there was a very high loading rate on the body from the downhills. So you couldn't really say that those easy runs were low stress. They were low stress on the heart and the lungs, but the athlete needs to treat them as a harder session. So, and I know people will say, well, if you're very, very well adapted to hill running, you could be really resistant to lower levels of the sort of eccentric impact, and that's true. You would need to kind of know yourself a little bit. But just for those who are newer or for those who think I'm not an absolute hill monster, you probably should treat most of your easy hill runs as a session because, yeah, easy on the heart, but hard on the muscles and joints.
Because too much high torque, Rennie, especially unbalanced, it can really begin to backfire. And I remember in my own early years as a track athlete, when I was probably doing three high torque sessions a week on the track, I was absolutely wasted after a couple of weeks of doing it, and picked up quite a lot of injuries in those first couple of years as well, because I was doing three speed sessions on the track, and that was only in, my season one or my season two as a runner, and it just led to so many issues. And of course, the same is true for trail running as well. We need to keep that high torque in check.
Yeah, we do because it was obviously in the 1960s that people like Lydiard found out that, harder training eventually becomes counterproductive if you do too much of it relative to the amount of easy training you do. And he focused more on the anaerobic nature of it, the things that happen chemically and in terms of pH when you exercise at a very high intensity. So it's kind of over time we've come to understand that there's a lot more to it than that. For instance, you can easily run very fast if you don't do too much of it, or if you have long recoveries and things like that. Especially then if you did it like as flat kind of strides or economy repetitions or things like that. What's actually the pro so when we start looking at it from the angle, a different angle, like the torque on the muscles, it's because when you have that high torque, your fast twitch fiber use goes up. And when your fast twitch fiber use goes up, your VLA max, so that's the rate at which your body produces lactate per minute, that goes up as well. When that goes up, your fat max, that's your peak fat burning efficiency, goes down. And when that goes down, your thresholds, all of them, go down. And your mitochondrial adaptation, which we talked a lot about in the last two, it gets worse, basically. You don't get as much of that. So you can actually feel stronger short term, but you lose your long run efficiency. And this is when this happens is when you actually look quite good in high intensity sessions, but you start to notice your recovery is not great. And then in the longer races, you're not performing as well as your short work suggests. That's usually a sign that you've overdone this. So you can see that's much easier to do if you don't catch the fact that maybe some of your zone two and zone three hill runs are actually contributing because you're doing them on too rough terrain, too much. You're activating too much fast twitch on your easier, are you in hyphen, hill runs, right? So you're kind of, if you also then have a few fast sessions on top of that, you could actually be, there's just not enough real easy work where your slow twitch fibers can just hum along happily.
So important that we stay out of trouble, Rene. How do we stay out of trouble? And I think you might have a 5-point checklist for us to help us keep on top of that low torque, high torque.
Yeah, so for most of our listeners, you probably limit high torque to 1 to 2 focus sessions per week. Okay, so once or two, twice a week, you should feel a real nice heavy resistance on your legs. If you limit it to that, you're probably fine. If you're a very, very advanced athlete who trains loads, because I know there might be people listening who are training 13 times a week, you can probably do more like 2 to 3, right? Or even 3 to 4, like if you really train a lot. But that would be the general recommendation. Then the anchor, you could say, of the week, the thing that supports everything is that aerobic low torque work. And that means when you do aerobic, if you start to notice that your aerobic work is not low torque, because all you do is go out like on crazy hard terrain and gradients, you have to reduce that, or treat it as a session. Try not to stack them back to back either, unless you're really pursuing a very advanced stress strategy with lots of recovery after. Because, as I say, high torque means high muscle damage. The next day you're going to be quite sensitive. So if you put another load like that on, it's tough. If you have the stuff like stride, try and track both the metabolic and biomechanical stress. If you don't have that, it just means even when your run looks easy in the heart rate, pay attention to how sore your muscles are, because that shows you the biomechanical stress. Don't say, "Oh, it was an easy run," if your muscles are really sore after. It wasn't. So pay attention to soreness, tightness, and these really like heavy legs after what you considered easy terrain.
It's something really that I say all the time to myself, first and foremost, and then to the athletes that I coach as well, that most of us athletes, we're all mentally driven. We all have different levels of good aerobic ability, but it's the infrastructure, it's the muscle groups that are the last ones to catch up with that mental drive and that aerobic development that takes place fairly quickly compared to the poor old muscles who always get a bit of a hiding over the first couple of weeks as we're rebuilding or getting stuck into our hard training sessions. And it is so important just to have that balance to the week, as you said, to allow those muscles catch up with everything else. So it was a great topic, Rennie, and great to see some real life examples as well, because the names that you mentioned there that have this focus on torque, they are some of the best runners in the world. Rennie, Francis Daine, you mentioned, four-time UTMB winner as well. Jim Walmsley, who had that fantastic win after moving over to the Alps to be able to focus on those type of key sessions back in 2023. So a brilliant topic, Rennie, and thanks a million for sharing that information with us today.
Yeah, and look, we might continue it next time or in a few about talking a bit more about durability, which is what you allude to at the very end, because that's a huge topic as well right now. They call it the fourth pillar of endurance training and so on. And there was some studies around what happens when you do this kind of very hill specific, trail specific torque training. What does it do to trail runners versus flat runners? And long story short is that the trail runners get slightly less efficient on the flat, but they're more powerful on the up. Now, there is actually probably a way to have your cake and eat it, because a lot of the reason this is because they neglect the flat. But that is, I think, a good way to round it off, that we might talk a bit more about durability. And if you do go hell for leather with high torque work, even if you get the balance right, you may sometimes find it could hamper your flat economy a little bit, right? Because there's always a cost to specializing. So
Listen, Rennie, brilliant stuff as always. Absolutely packed with insight, Rennie, that particular episode there today. Rennie, thanks a million. And until next time, mate, take care.
my pleasure, Owen. All right, talk to you.
Well, there we have it, guys. Hopefully you enjoyed the chat there with Rene. And before we go, a big thank you one last time to our sponsor this month, EcoTrail Wicklow. If you are thinking of building towards a race over the next 7 or 8 weeks, EcoTrail is the one for you. 5 race distances from 10K up to 80K, and lots of fun will be had on Bray Promenade on September 27th. And with the team from Wicklow Wolf Brewery on hand at the finish line, fun is guaranteed. Get registered, guys, and can't wait to see you there. And I might even see some of you in Chamonix at the UTMB World Series Finals. If you're racing, if you're there supporting friends, I'll be on the start and finish line, guys, from Monday to Saturday. Do pop over to say hello, and I'll make sure to give the boys and girls in green a shout out on the microphone at the finish line. Guys, everybody get your running gear on. Let's go.